قطب الأكتاب، حضرت مولانا رشید گنگوہی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. He stated that tongue that is busy, occupied in the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, which remembers Allah, that tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not put into hell, Jahannam. So this is also a hadith. This is also a hadith that if death comes in this state, that your tongue should be busy in the dhikr of Allah. So this is the state of the tongue, that due to doing dhikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that this tongue was a dhakir, this tongue I will not put into the fire of hell. So this is the same. And obviously the heart is the head, the king of the body, the heart. This is apparent, that the whole body is controlled by the heart. This is also a hadith. So when the situation with the tongue is such that due to doing dhikr, the tongue Allah Ta'ala will not put into the hellfire, then that human being whose heart is a dhakir, which remembers Allah, does the dhikr of Allah, then due to that, the whole body Allah Ta'ala will save from the fire of hell. The whole body. In the Quran it is stated, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Here the Mufassireen, the commentators have said that what does it mean, dhikr kathir, abundance of dhikr, those who do dhikr kathir, what does that mean? What is the definition of that? What does this mean? It means those people who remember Allah from their hearts. So the Mufassireen here, what do they say? They say that success, falah, falah. Now obviously if we see that on a worldly basis, if there's success, a person's very happy. If somebody is seeking something, looking for something, for example, someone's looking for a house, he's a millionaire and years have passed and he's distressed, and suddenly you tell that person that you can attain this house, obtain it, will he not be happy? Will he not be happy? There'll be no limit to his happiness. If we look at the dunya, person's job, employment, everything attached to the dunya, when that news is delivered, the good news, that what you wanted has been achieved, then that person is extremely happy at that time. And you can imagine that happiness. And then what about the real happiness that Allah Ta'ala is defining as falah? What will be that happiness? When that person gets the good news that he has attained falah, you've become successful. Just imagine those places. In the Qiyamah Day, Judgment Day, you know the scene of Judgment Day, Allah has mentioned in the Quran, the scene. Hazrat Israfil alayhi salam, first time when he'll blow the trumpet, then this world will disappear suddenly. No place, nobody will remain living, the mountains will evaporate into the air, and there'll be fire in the oceans, the seas. This is when Qiyamah will come. One scene we see today, for example, you know, bombs, when they're thrown onto the earth and you see the effect of that. That's nothing compared to Judgment Day. And everything that's around us, the hal will end. Everything that has life, birds or creatures or animals, with the first trumpet, Qiyamah will be established. Then the trumpet will be blown again. Nobody knows how long after and what will be the circumstances, but Allah knows best. So after that blowing of the trumpet, in the Quran it's mentioned in various places that then the earth will boil from within. And from the beginning of time till the end, wherever the insan, wherever they died, wherever they lived, wherever they'll be, the earth will uproot them. Out of the earth they will come, the people who lived. And like rubber, the earth will be stretched and pulled. It will be stretched. And the Mufassireen commentators said that the earth will be stretched so much, because imagine how many people there'll be on the Day of Judgment. How many people that the earth now in its current form cannot hold them? The earth will be stretched. This is not a story. The Quran is telling us this true fact. And after doing yaqeen on this, we become Muslims. This is iman, believing in these facts. Whoever doesn't believe in these facts does not have iman. Anyone who doubts, how can he say he's a Muslim? If iman attests to this fact, that we believe in Qiyamah, we believe in Akhirah, we believe in the angels, whatever Allah is mentioned in the Quran, the facts, we believe them. The question doesn't arise about doubting these facts. Mustanid, confirmed, the Quran is telling us these things. When will this occur? Yes, even in the flash of the eyelid, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said in his day and age about Qiyamah. It's close. And we see today the effects, all of them, of Qiyamah are present. Is there any sign that has not become evident, that is not in front of us about Qiyamah? Fitnatul Dajjal we've seen as well. That Mahdi alayhi salam's nearness we can see. All the signs, you can look around you, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in this country, what's happening there, what will happen here. Today, after every hour, the world is changing. We can see this. After every hour, a piece of news arises that this sickness is severe. After a few days, this sickness is nothing. A more serious version has arisen. Sickness. Then another piece of news. No. A more severe illness that you cannot stop. So where did the vaccine go? Be fine. Oh, that won't work on this one. We hear this, don't we, in the news? Changing, fluctuation. So Allah Ta'ala is controlling the whole system. This is Allah's control. So in this we have yaqeen. And only after having yaqeen can a person be a mu'min, have iman. If we don't have yaqeen in these points, we have doubts, wasawis, waswasa, shaitani whispers. We should reject these. We should cure the waswasa. Cure the waswasa so that our iman doesn't go to waste. So this is the reality. When these conditions are surrounding us, and now we look at the scene of Qiyamah again, that the earth will be pulled like rubber. There will be intense darkness that you cannot give the example of that darkness. It will be so hot, we cannot give an example on the earth of the heat of the Day of Judgment. Darkness, heat, Allah forgive, Allah forgive. And how long? No knowledge. Imagine, the length of time, no light. We are all alive at that time, stood there. We'll be drowned in our sweat. At that time, this is the words of the Quran that have been told to us. That's why we read the Quran, isn't it? Don't we read the Quran for this? The Quran is our heart, it's our body, it's our everything. Without the Quran, there's no success for us. Alhamdulillah. The Quran says, read me and practice on me. That's the invitation of the Quran, the da'wah. One verse, read it, contemplate, do fikr on that verse, think about me. The verse will be sad. We'll say, didn't you ever think about me? That when you used to recite me like a parrot, were you an animal that you just recited me and didn't know what I was saying? Look, the Quran was given to the Nabi, the head of the kitabs. The Quran is the head of the kitabs. Every word is a reward. Look at the Quran, reward. Touch it, reward. If you kiss it, reward. If you keep it at home, there's barakah. When you look at the Quran, there's barakah. Imagine, what a great kitab. And what a great, great honor Allah has given the Quran. Allah has put the Quran in our hearts. And He's allowed us to recite it from our tongues. And it's memorized in the hearts. Is this not the case? But the objective isn't this, Allah says. The objective is not this of the Quran. The objective is one. What is the objective? Amal. Practice. The person will be higher, that hafiz. That hafiz will be higher in the ranks who practices the Quran. And his destination, he will get to that destination. That verse of the Quran, it says, keep on reciting, keep on ascending, keep on ascending. So many fadail, so many virtues, so many rewards, so many blessings, so many rahmas, mercy. But apart from all of that, Allah says, there's only one objective of the Quran. If you've done amal in the Quran, then all those objectives you've attained, noor ala noor, light beyond light. That person's mother and father will be given a crown, such an illumination. Such like the moon and the sun, the light will be in front of those people. Those hafizes, their mothers and fathers, there will be crowns on their heads. That person cannot imagine that light, the intensity. But what's the condition? Underlying condition is one. That he didn't joke with the Quran. He didn't jest with the Quran. He didn't challenge the Quran. He didn't remember the Quran for some other objective. There was one objective. What's the objective? ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. What does Allah say in the beginning of the Quran? What is this Quran? There's no need to doubt this Quran. The one who doubts can never succeed. هدى للمتقين. And the muttaqeen, whoever wants to be a muttaqi in the world today, who wants to attain taqwa, fear of Allah, who wants paradise, hudal lil muttaqeen, how will he be prepared? The Quran will prepare that person. The amal of the Quran, whoever takes the Quran on a practical basis, the Quran has said it right in the beginning, only those people are successful. Is this not the case? So the Quran is telling us, how can you have waswasa in the Quran, whispering, this will be the hal of the people. And at that time on Qiyamah, will there be discord, disarray, darkness, severity? Just imagine the light goes off now here. Or there's fire here around us. Allah bring this and the whole world is like this. For example, I'll give you an example. And within a second, there's darkness suddenly. Me and you, how will we feel? How long will we stay alive? Severity of darkness. Ongoing. And there's heat and humidity, severity of heat within a minute. Change this condition around us now for a second. Yeah, it's not impossible. That's what happens when there's buildings on fire, isn't it? What's the hal of those people on fire? Eventually they died, this many died. But in the darkness when the building was on fire, but Allah is saying about Qiyamah, in the severity of heat, Qiyamah day, there will be no death. There will be no death. There will be life beyond life in that condition. Imagine how severe it will be. When will this happen with me, you, all of us that we're sitting on the earth now? We will pass through these phases. So I remember Hazrat Sahib's the of the Wali Allah, the friends of Allah, when he'd speak, then aha would come. And a tear would drop from the eyes and he'd say, Babu, in his dialect, Saraiki, do you know what will happen? What do you know? What are the phases of life to come? Do you know that when those phases arrive, what will they be? What will be the conditions that will surround us and confront us? You don't know those conditions. Because he had read the Quran and he knew these facts. So on this, at this time, let's imagine, what does the Quran say? وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. In this condition, in the darkness, in this position, you are stood. Here, for example, you don't get a job, and you get, oh, you got the job. So happy, mitai boxes, sweet boxes, and not got the rishta, the partner for marriage, and the good news comes, he's so happy. Oh, house, I've got a house, so happy, you can't sleep, you're so happy. Oh Allah, I'm so grateful to you, shukr to you, Allah, ni'mah. Think about that time when we're in that severity of qiyamah, and from Allah comes the good news. Go, I've forgiven you, imagine. Imagine that good news. Can anybody imagine the effect of that good news? That emotion, that feeling, can anyone imagine at that time? Yes, for example, you're drowning within the surface of the ocean. You're drowning, your breath is going, and suddenly you get something that takes you up to the surface of the water. Imagine, nothing can compare, nothing can compete to the severity of the condition, qiyamah, darkness, heat. And at that time, if one of us gets an announcement, the go, Allah says, I've forgiven you, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Allah saying in the Quran, how Allah is mentioning in the Quran these points. So for that person, the Quran has said, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Your heart, keep it occupied always in the remembrance of Allah. And that time, the happiness you get, when I will announce in that darkness that I, due to your dhikr, have forgiven you. SubhanAllah. This is what Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah is saying. Qudus Sirah. His extreme holiness. That tongue that does dhikrullah will not go into Jahannam. Forgiven. So that's one part of your body, the tongue. So he stated, that imagine that heart which is a dhakir. And the heart that vibrates to the whole body is the head, the king of the body. Only the heart on its own will be forgiven. It will save the whole body from the fire of Jahannam. SubhanAllah. That's why I stated that what a great piece of news from Allah Ta'ala. That do qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart. With the heart, remember Allah. Attach your heart to Allah. And you'll get the good news of that darkness today. But who feels the loss? Who feels sadness? We have love of the world and such. We have been overwhelmed by the dunya. We don't understand about the hereafter. Think. Allah Ta'ala has given to us everything. Health, Allah has given us aqal, intellect, Allah has given us the good conditions of life. Allah has given everything to us. But we do not value and appreciate these things. If this was not necessary, the Qur'an Hakim, if it was not so important, that from that time until today, how could it continue? But day by day, the illumination increases. Because the Qur'an will be intact till Qiyamah. Day by day, the light is coming. You can see this. From where to where it has arrived until Qiyamah, what light and illumination of the Qur'an will be spread, how people read. Today on the phones, you can sit down and read the Qur'an. On the phones. You think that, for example, the innovation of the phone come for reading Qur'an? But the people of Iman established Qur'an on the phone as well. So Allah Ta'ala see in which way, which with methods Allah spreads the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an will continue to come. Allah says through the Qur'an you will attain forgiveness and salvation. How can the dhikr of Allah end, which is giving bakshish, forgiveness on the day of judgment to people? How the dhikr of Allah, it improves, how it thrives. People used to go far and wide for dhikr. In my life, I speak about 50, 60 years ago, how I used to go to the khanqah of my Sheikh Hazrat Sahib. Thousands of miles I travel. Through illness, I went to do the dhikr of Allah in that khanqah of my Sheikh. This is my life's practice I'm sharing. One normal person. But the true walis of Allah who sacrificed for dhikr of Allah, imagine the massive sacrifices they gave for going just to learn the name of Allah. A person like me, incapable, I'm talking to you about myself, practically, just to share my practical examples. I didn't get dhikr at home. As I say, I'll come sit down at home and you're learning qalbi dhikr, etc. Tell me. You have to give things up. Everything you acquire through effort. You have to make effort to acquire something. But as time is passing, the qahatul rijal, the drought is there, spread. Qiyamah is close, conditions you can see, fitnas have arrived, planes have stopped. Yes, and now further more things will happen. Whoever is weary, somewhere he'll get stuck. These words look strange. 40 years old before the words, they're saying totally what you said before is happening. Borders will close. Wherever you will be, you'll be stuck. Remember this. Ajeeb. And with speed, the time is progressing. Be careful in traveling, going on safar. You can create normality, but normality will not come like that. It cannot be. When Allah Ta'ala comes into the equation, then normality ends. And is drought now in this day and age. No wali wala will you see, no darvish, no pious person, no one to do dua. There's discord and disarray. Why? Because Allah says, I raise everything up. When people don't value my ni'mas, when they don't treasure the good things I'll give, Allah says, I take my walis of Allah away. You'll find them, look for them. This is dhikr of Allah because it's going to continue. So how is Allah Ta'ala prepared? Look at how is Allah has arranged for dhikr. Look, where am I speaking? Where am I doing dhikr from? And I used to go to thousands of miles away to that country, to that village, Gadai Sharif. In the name of Gadai Sharif, nobody knew in the corners of the world, but now Gadai Sharif is known to people in the corners of the world. The village of my Hazrat, Hazrat Sahib's name. There are four khankas in this country, alhamdulillah. Four khankas in this country. Who knew Gadai Sharif? Today there are four khankas in this country. Everyone sat there doing dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah. So this is reality. When something is true and genuine, when there's truth and haqq and truth within, then the human beings don't spread that path. It's not spread through announcements. It's not spread through adverts. You don't have to do adverts, announcements, nothing. But Allah Ta'ala is the one who spreads and He'll continue to spread. Yes, that this flame will not be put out, extinguished at all. How can you extinguish the flame? Whether you have adverts or not, announcements or not, whether you tell people or not, whether you explain to somebody or not, whether he understands or not. But can anyone stop the message of the Quran? Can anybody wipe out the message of the Quran? Can anybody have enmity with the Quran? How long? Take it out of the hearts of people. How many hearts can you take the Quran out of? Tell me. Can you stop dhikr of Allah? How can you stop dhikr of Allah? How will it be stopped? Ceased. How? Just like the phone, you can read on the Quran on the phone. Look at the system of dhikr. The dunya, people don't have to come. Dhikr is delivered by Allah Ta'ala to people. Gadai Sharif has arrived to the corners of the world. Hazrat Sahib didn't come out of his hujra. Yes, somebody said to Hazrat Sahib, I was there, the sign. Dunya is progressing. In my dialect, I'm speaking to you now. Yep, because also listen to my dialect and my Sheikh's dialect, subhanAllah. This is my spiritual language. Yes, if I'm speaking from my heart, I feel like speaking this dialect. He said, Sain, that look how dunya has progressed from here to here. Hazrat Sahib, you should go somewhere else as well. You should progress as well. Give fares to the people of the world. Distribute your fares. And the darvesh said in reply, some darvesh said, Hazrat, you're such a great personality. You're sat in this corner here. There's no one here, just goats and chickens running around. You're such a great sheikh that if you look around, the stones start doing dhikr when you look at them. Go, travel around the world, give fares. And Hazrat said with a light smile, Babu, Allah Ta'ala has given me that freedom. He's let me off. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has given what? He has let me off. Give me that flexibility. He knows that I don't, how much strength I have. So I have no need to go. Such a man Allah will send to me who will deliver this message to the world. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The walis of Allah, their words. Allah Ta'ala with his friends has a great connection. We don't understand these points. What are these words? What does it mean? What does it mean? Our understanding, we cannot contemplate this. That we consider the wali Allah just in that when we go to him, we get this. If we go there, we get this. We get a son, we get a daughter. This happens. Then if we see this happens and the magic happens and jinnat come out, we consider that person as the wali Allah who fulfills our desires. But in reality, the wali of Allah, the people with the heart, the people of Allah, that they know that if you go to them with a dead heart, you'll come back with a heart that's alive. That's the fact. That's the real praise of the wali Allah. Definition, sign. Quran says, Allah says that the barren land, did I not make it alive? You cannot make the hearts alive. Then Allah says, if I can make the barren earth alive, the earth is made alive. Look, Allah says, I put water on the barren earth. The clouds are sent. The winds are sent. And how the water comes to the earth and then pollen, fruits and vegetables grow. So Allah says, your dead hearts, can I not make them alive? This wasteless, barren heart, how Allah Ta'ala says, I moisten the heart. Just like the cool wind comes, Allah says, then the cool light of the wali Allah is sent to that barren heart, their words, their ilham, due to which the hearts bear fruits. They become like gardens, the hearts. So, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great ni'mah for the human being, dhikrullah, dhikr kathir, abundance of dhikr, and a dhikr of the heart, and the illumination of the heart. The effects, we are enjoying life in the world, we have no desire for dhikr, we have no passion. Thousands, 10,000 miles people travel, oh there's a wali Allah there, there's a wali Allah walking. Intense heat at that time, this is a Middle East country in the Arab world. And I've heard this from our pious elders, I'm sharing this with you. And somebody said, Hazrat Sahib, it's extreme heat at this time, where are you going at this moment in time? It's hot. And you've got your goods with you. And he said that somebody told me, I heard that the wali of Allah in their majlis, 120 rahmas descend. He gave the answer. So where the majlis of Allah is, the gathering of Allah, hey, alhamdulillah, who is the wali Allah? The person remembers Allah. That's the definition. So is this not the majlis of the wali Allah? This is the majlis. What else is there? Are there horns there with the sign? If people are gathered for this reason, the witness statement, the hadith bears witness that those people, those human beings who gather, assemble for this reason, whether it's home, whether it's the masjid, whether it's the house of Allah, what is their objective? To remember me, Allah says. So that's the gathering of the wali Allah. So Allah says that just like those people remember me on the earth, Allah says amongst the angels, I'm remembering them in the heavens, amongst the angels. Hadith. So, he said, the elder that I've read in the hadith, the 120 mercies descend on the gathering of the wali Allah, the majlis of Allah's remembrance. I have no care about this heat and this difficulty and this effort that I'm making. I have no worries about this. He says, I'm traveling for this reason to go there, because there's a wali Allah there, darvesh, dhikr of Allah is being conducted there, and I want to also be included and gathered and assembled in that gathering so that I attain those rahmas. And today, do we have this passion? Do we have this passion today? We consider that, do we understand that Allah Ta'ala's rahmas are coming? Yes, we know that in the dunya, if we gain something, we run after something in the world. We'll run after it to attain it straight away. But every day, morning and evening, these rahmas are acquired, aren't they? Are they not present, these rahmas? Tomorrow, what will happen in the darkness? This the prayer. Is Allah Ta'ala not making us prepare for the day of judgment? Does Allah Ta'ala not want to save us? Allah Ta'ala will say to us, won't he, tomorrow? That today, you're afraid of Qiyamah, tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, say you stood there like apes and monkeys on the Day of Judgment. Yesterday, the days before, when my dhikr, the light was sparkling, glowing on the earth.
dhikrullah gatherings, majalis, were you sleeping at that time? At that time, what happened to you? Where were you? Yesterday, the days gone before, you should have prepared and taken the fruits today. This is Allah will say on the Day of Judgment. So will we do dhikr or not? Either this, or if Allah says, okay, fine, you came to England, and it wasn't necessary for you, and I didn't give you the majlis. Allah says, no. Okay, fine, it wasn't your fault. There was no majlis in England, for example. Will Allah say this? Are there gatherings here or not? Tell me. Tell me. That in England now, is this announcement, my voice not spreading? Is my voice not going to London? Is it not going to Yorkshire? The whole country, even here it's going, in the dunya it's going, or is it not going? Allah will say that, why are you lazy, neglectful, that there, I could have stopped this voice of dhikr. And don't look at the insan who's speaking and where the voices come from. Look at Allah, the Rabb, who is spreading that voice and the announcement of dhikr. Subhanallah. We look at human beings. He is this, is he this or not? Is he this or not? Does he have this status or not? What is your criteria? How can you judge a person? And to analyze him and judge him. Is he right or wrong? That Allah Ta'ala's Rahmah, he can select who he wants to spread his deen. That why do you select with your criteria? Now if he's this and got this status, then I'm not going to sit with him. If it's that man, then I'm not going to sit in his gathering. If he's a Pakistani, then I'm not going to sit in his gathering. If he's a Gujaratri, then I'm not going to sit there. If he's a Pathan, then I'm not going to sit. If he's from my tribe and he speaks with my dialect, then I'll say he's a Waliyallah, then I'll sit with him. This is our basis. These are our criteria today. Allah Ta'ala says, there's such a majlis in which different families, different languages, different races of people come and creeds of people come, subhanAllah. There you don't need no color, no creed, no language, no differentiation. There's one language. What language is that? Muhammad the Arabi's language goes in that gathering. And that's my dhikr, Allah says, that runs in that gathering. So don't look there, that who are you, who is hosting dhikr. Allah says, whoever I select, it's my selection. Whether he's English, Irish, or German, Pakistani, Gujarati, doesn't matter. Allah says, it's my selection. If you will follow your selection, then shaitan will work for you. That I'm better than him. Why should I do sajda to Adam? He is made of soil and I'm made from fire. Allah's laws, don't select and challenge Allah's laws. Don't look at the language or his voice. Recognize Allah who's spreading his dhikr. We have no issues with who is this person, where is he from, what link does he have, what status is he. No. Allah selected someone for some reason. What's the hikmah? What's the wisdom? What's the background to that? We need to look at the message, the essence of the message. The message, what we should do, not do. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So, the pious elder, he is walking, he says, 120 rahmas, I'm going to get them. If Allah asks us tomorrow, how did all this happen? Does Allah Ta'ala create a system specifically, or do we do this, attain this, achieve this? Allah says, Allah says that the thirsty person I sent to the well. Imagine, through some excuse or mode, and for example, that happens. So it's that person who should have akal, that I've arrived to the well. Now I should leave this well after quenching my thirst. Allah sent that person. That's the person who's grateful, who's arrived to the well, and he knows there's a wisdom behind this, so I need to quench my thirst and then leave. So my brothers, we need to do the same. 120 rahmas, imagine, of Allah's. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, I'll present to you, share with you his statement. These old words of the pious elders, not something I'm saying. Three amal, if you do, guarantee you will get paradise, Jannah, guarantee. Three practices you do. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah. Three amal, three actions, if a human being does, will you get paradise or not? First action, he stated, the Quran told us this, as in Gongohi Sabram, they told us this. What is the action? First thing that's been mentioned, that the company of the Waliyallah, find and obtain the company of the Waliyallah with one niyyah, that I can get the hereafter from here, in the Day of Judgment I will get forgiveness. And the first step to prepare for that destination, who's telling us this? Such a great Waliyallah. He's the Mujaddad of Tasawwuf, of Tariqah. First action, he said, the first amal, the first practice is what? That find the company and establish the connection with the Waliyallah, the friend of Allah. Sohbat, company, not just for shaking hands and just on the top of it. No, such a sohbat, you have aqeedah with him, you have love with him, muhabbat, you have itaat with him, you have adherence to his, what he says, and fanayat. Not just, oh, for a few hours with him, sat down, came to dhikr, I go in the morning. No. Connection. Everything, there are conditions. There are conditions, Allah said of the Quran, amal. The condition of everything is, so if you want company of the wali Allah, then you should have these three qualities. You have rabta shaykh, connection with the shaykh. Just revise your lesson now. I also want to revise mine. Not just, Hazrat Sahib is gone and I have no need for my shaykh. We still have the same connection with the teacher. I need to have the same aqidah with my teacher today, the same love for my teacher today, the same obedience to my teacher, itaat, and the same khidmat service to my teacher. So how has the situation changed? My connection with Hazrat Sahib has always the fares, the blessings of the shaykh arrive to the student. Remember this. So now what's the situation? That for him, I do ithal thawab. I will continue to ask Allah for his forgiveness, and his love will continue to be attained. The connection with the shaykh never ends. Never. Yes, the direction changes. The direction changes. So maintain the connection with the shaykh. But connection doesn't just, I'm going there, I'm sat there, I'm sitting in dhikr. That's not connection. The benefit will come when you will have aqeedah with the shaykh, when muhabbat, love of the heart will be with the shaykh, ita'at, obedience to the shaykh, the way he has trained you, and what he's taught you, whatever he tells you, you emulate and you practice. Ya bidhnillah, for the sake of Allah. And if there's a sheikh that, for example, for the world, he looks at students who's got more money, he's given me more maal, he served me more, then he's not a sheikh, he's a thief. That person's a thief. He's not a peer. Bidhnillah, the sheikh who teaches. And they don't have no differentiation. Who wants to progress? Who has the qualities? And they don't look at relatives, they don't look at relationships, they don't look at blood relationships. Bidhnillah, it's the hukum of Allah that the teacher, he follows. Allah says in the dream, give him progression, give him promotion, give him this, because he's got the qualities, he's got strong aqeedah with the teacher. He's come for the sake of Allah. Total aqeedah he's come with, that I want to attain fares from my shaykh and depart with that fares. He will take me to my destination. He should have strong aqeedah belief, strong love, muhabbat, and the love of the shaykh should be stronger than everyone else. And the aqeedah in his shaykh should be stronger than everyone else. And his obedience to the shaykh, the student, should be greater than everyone else. And the khidmat to the teacher should be greater than everything else. When these four connections are strong, that's called rabta shaykh, and that's called sohbat shaykh, and that's the sohbat that we should have. Subhanallah. So Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, so step number one, action number one, sohbat-e-shaykh. This is the definition of sohbat-e-shaykh. Shouldn't have hypocrisy, shouldn't have in your heart negative feelings. You shouldn't feel a pinch when your shaykh says something. You should have happiness in everything the shaykh says. No words of the shaykh or anything he teaches should you feel as hard. Or can you imagine a sahabi considered the words of the Prophet as unacceptable? Or impractical? No way. The companion said, may my mother and father be given for you, Rasulullah. Then they requested after saying that. That's why they became Siddiq. And look at the difference from all of the Sahaba. Nobody could become Siddiq. Why? Because the most permanent, this is the deen that teaches us, the most permanent, awwal thing he attained, sohbat, was attained by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He was the incomparable in terms of sohbat, connection with the Prophet. Many Sahaba were proud, you could say, and they envied him. Envied his sohbat. And such a sohbat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first when the Prophet departed from this world, then subhanallah, that he lay down next to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And that's what we see, that's sohbat. Abu Bakr Siddiq lay down near to Rasulullah after he passed away. And for example, you can give thousands of pounds. I tell you the truth, until today, never did I think I'm spending so much money, I'm buying a ticket, I'm going to see my shaykh. Allah, I swear by Allah, I was happy that I took a loan and spent in the path of Allah. I gave up time, maybe sacrificed, that I left my wife and my children, I left my shops, I left my business. I am a businessman, I was a businessman, brothers. Very difficult, ask a businessman at Christmas time to leave his shop. They sat here, all of them, ask the businessman in the season, peak season. Sunday, Saturday, we don't leave our shops and businesses. And here, I said, I used to say to a person while he's walking, I'm not praising myself, I'm just trying to revive that awareness that when you have a link and a love for the shaykh, then at that time, Allah Ta'ala gives himself to that person. Allah gives himself. Just try it. Test yourself. That person, he's walking past, and he said, have you got 2 weeks? I said, have you got 2 weeks? He said, what's the case? He said, can you stop at my shop? He used to smile. He said, okay, I'll run your shop then for a couple of weeks. And I used to give him the keys and I'd go. Yeah? No accounting. I said, take over and, you know, it's yours for 2 weeks. So brothers, this is the love we should have, the connection. So I'm just revising the lesson for you, mashallah. That's why you've come here. That may not be that tomorrow you grab my neck. Where's he gone? He was a thief. He said he was a peer. That I speak openly every misal and example of mine I'll give to you, so that you can attain that benefit. And that darkness that's about to come about, which Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا لَكَثِيرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. From that darkness, Allah Ta'ala wants to save us from that severity of the Qiyamah. Allah wants to give us good news on that day, that go, I have forgiven you. I've forgiven you. Subhanallah. So we can't even do that much. What amal do we have that will be accepted on me? Which Quran, which Salah, which Umrah? Yes? Have we got anything? Nothing is visible. No amal is visible that will be accepted. Yes, Hazrat Thawri, rahmatullah, another great sheikh, Hazrat Thawri, all night long used to cry and stand and do ibadah, and somebody asked him, Hazrat, that, because the Wali of Allah is a great, we don't know, somebody said, Hazrat, amazing status, all night long you cry, your feet are swollen, and in the day you cry, what's the reason? You are Wali Allah, why do you have the necessity to do this? And he started to cry again, and he cried and said, what are you saying? Why are you saying this? The gracious Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's feet would swell up, and he was the Nabi. And I am that human being who doesn't even know that he has got one deed of his, has it been accepted? Has one sin been forgiven? I don't even know if one of my sins has been forgiven or not. So if I don't cry, what should I not do? If I don't cry all night long, what else should I do? Such a great Wali of Allah. He's written kitabs upon kitabs. Wali Allah, he never considered he is a Wali Allah. That, for example, he thinks he's the worst person of that time, the Wali Allah, and that's the reality. A person who thinks I'm the best, I have no sins, how can he be a Wali Allah? Tell me. How can he be a Wali Allah? A person has no desire, no khawf, fear of Allah. How can he be a Wali Allah? Khawf always says that you are nothing. You are useless. You have all the sins within you. This is khashiyat, humbleness, sincerity, simplicity. Allah's khawf, fear of Allah. So, first thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sohbat-e Shaykh, company of the Shaykh. We understood what this? Second step, stated that the second thing will come automatically. Qalbi dhikr. Subhanallah. Dhikr of the heart. Dhikr kathir. So, dhikr kathir, how do we do this? Do dhikr in abundance with the heart, not the tongue. Stop the tongue with the heart always. Maraqib. In the same quantity, same way after sohbat, just like your shaykh has taught you, not for a minute, should there be a fluctuation. This. Now there are conditions. You're not doing dhikr for enjoyment. You're not doing it for some super feeling. You're not doing it for promotion. You're not doing it for success in the world. I'll get this, I'll get that. If I do dhikr, I'm not getting a benefit. Oh, there's no one says salam to me, I'm not getting a benefit. No. Don't look for the effects of the dunya. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gives to you through His dhikr, وَذْكُرُوا لَكَثِيرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That in that darkness on the day of judgment, you'll get in that intense darkness when you'll be seated on a minbar. All the people at that time will be envious of you. That what tribe is this? Which people are this? Allah said, these are those people who in the world used to remember me, do my dhikr. So we do dhikr like this, not like I'm feeling sleepy, I've got difficulty, I'm feeling pain. No, we have to fulfill our complete of dhikr. We know that we'll get our destination from dhikr. Whoever runs after, I'm not getting this benefit, I'm not getting this worldly benefit, I've not fulfilled my desires, I'm not getting married, and the partner proposes not coming, I'm not getting this, and I'm doing dhikr for so long, I'm not khalifa yet, I'm not a deputy yet. Whoever has this one atom's weight of this desire, listen clearly, if you have this waswasa, then success is very far away. You are going towards the negative path that should be 100% genuine, the salik, solely for radha ilahi, Allah, you become pleased. Our Shaykh said, Allah's pleasure is what we want. What a great dua he would do when he was happy. As I said, Allah is pleased with you. This is the dua. Allah is pleased with you. May Allah become pleased with you. He said, because the whole game is for Allah's pleasure. Salah, masjid, Quran, talawah, recitation is to please Allah. We're doing this. We're not doing it to please human beings all life long. We try to please human beings. Oh, may he praise my voice, my Quran, my salah, my sujood, my prostrations, my speeches, and my this quality. Are you not enjoying yourself? Are you feeling emotions, people? Are you enjoying what I'm saying? And they don't even ask. Is this for Allah's radha? Allah's radha is such that Allah Himself asks the servant, tell me, what is your radha, my servant? What do you require? What's your pleasure? This is Allah's radha. No, this in the darkness. Are you enjoying yourself? Look at this, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm hearing. And He's asking people, are you enjoying? Are you enjoying? They're asking, are you enjoying my words? Are you enjoying yourselves? Do you enjoy my speeches, my lectures, my tafsirs, my commentaries? Oh, servant of Allah. Think for a moment, O servant of Allah, these ni'mas Allah has given to utilize them correctly. Allah Himself asks you, are you happy, my servant, with me? Allahu Akbar. Allah Himself asks his servant, that tell me what is your pleasure, O my servant. Get this maqam, this status, independent a human being should be. Have one objective, just Allah, that's it. Allah's pleasure. And this is called dhikr, kathir. Abundance, high quantity. Only for the sake of Allah we do dhikr. We sit, not to please anyone, no enjoyment, no khilafah, no. Because my Rabb, I'm doing His dhikr. Come on, we're just remembering Allah. Yes, and the enjoyment of that person, he takes that. He achieves that. The third step, the third action, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib said. Step number three, and your life will become made successful action. And in the darkness of Qiyamah, you'll hear the good news from Allah. Prepare today for that. Time is passing very fast. Nobody knows if the last breath is there. If today the last breath blows out, that's it. And preparation finished. Today we can do tawbah right now. And we can start our preparation. Inshallah, Allah will raise us with the successful people. Don't waste time. Don't waste time. Even today we can prepare. Forget the dunya. Dunya is pulling us. I've told you, haven't I? Such a time will come. Whoever's there, he'll be stuck there. He won't be able to move. Yeah, can you imagine after 15 years before today, Umrah will stop? Medina, nobody can go. Tawaf, nobody can do. Can you imagine this 15 years ago? Tell me. Imagine now. And if you go, what will happen? You'll be stood like a parade. One stood there like a soldier. Stand there. Was this ever the case of Salah? This is the red line, green line, yellow line. Don't go beyond this. Restrictions. Imam Sahib used to say before, they come together, shoulder to shoulder, joined together in Salah. There should be no space between you, no gaps. Where have those words gone now? The gaps. Why? Because this is Allah's deen. Allah knows how I want to see the people. Allah Ta'ala takes everything back, snatches it back. Where have all those scenes gone? Tell me. Now he says, 2 meters, 1 meter, 3 meters, Salah, gap. In Salah, this is the announcement. Those same verse, they said that, join your shoulders and your feet to feet, and shoulder to shoulder. There were fights, should it be feet to feet, shoulders to feet. Someone said, no, join the feet together. Someone said, no, join the shoulders together. There were arguments and quarrels and disputes and differences. And now, with the same voice, no, open up the gaps, 2 meters apart, feet apart, the same masjid. Because Allah is watching the game with us. But we still don't have akal. We still think this is a joke around us. We think it's a game, it's not deen. Keep on seeing how the dunya changes and moves. Such a human being will shake. Allah says, just like you left the sunnah of my Nabi, Allah says, I will make you run around like that on this earth. Allah's, when He takes the revenge, is severe. So what are the steps? Sohbat, number one. Number two is dhikrullah. But the third thing, without that we cannot succeed. And what is that? Ittabai sunnah. Allah. And today we are seeing the punishment, that there's no punishment. It's not the punishment of going to the masjid, of not reading Quran, of not going to Umrah, of Hajj, of not going to Arafah. All the things we do under the sun. But there's one action we ain't done, due to which the punishment's coming. The world's upside down because we left Allah's Nabi. So Allah has left us. We left His Nabi. Allah has left us. The sunnahs are not happening. Faces have changed. Parda has gone. Immodesty is in front of us. Music and singing is common. and masjids become playgrounds, and fighting, quarreling, disputes. You'll see around you in the world, the face of the world has changed, the face of our deen has changed. Everything has changed. When everything changed, Allah decided Himself that you left my Nabi, so I've left you. Go. Go. And sometimes Corona will come, sometimes Corona's mum comes, sometimes Corona's dad will come. Different names, different diseases. Sometimes masks will come, sometimes shirts will come off. Allah will make us do various things in various ways. Allah knows best, because our tawbah isn't even tawbah. Now we don't even have to cry, we laugh. We laugh. So many things have come that we open the phone to laugh and jest and joke, and thousands of useless things on the phone. A common thing. And it's become a toy. We have no new knowledge of deen. But Allah's deen, everyday news comes. This many people, even today, a person was saying that in the masjid in London, that how the janazas take place, that there are numbers, that this many janazas, this one, this one, this one. Imagine, numbers are written, his turn's coming, his turn's coming. And they're running, there's a queue for the janazas outside. One brother was saying, he works somewhere, he said in the graves, now they burn the coffins, they burn the bodies. Yes, we have to burn them due to the burden. What is happening in this day and age? But for us, just a game. We have no link, that we still have broken the link with Rasul. We cannot imagine that we've done a sin. We don't even imagine, except we don't even say one sunnah. If you practice, you get 100 shaheed sawab reward. And that tongue, blessed tongue, said this. Who? He recited the Quran. From his blessed tongue, these words have come. Man ahya sunnati inda fasad al ummati. That in that time of disarray, discord, one human being, if he prays Jummah like me, if he wears my libas, if he has my appearance, me, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bear witness that he will get the thawab of 100 shaheed. The Quran we believe in. Then what about the person who delivered the Quran to us? Don't we believe in when he says, وَمَن يَنْتَقِي الْهَوَى, that he doesn't speak of his own accord. Allah says in the Quran, he doesn't speak of his own accord. All the sunnahs came from his blessed tongue. All his actions, that Bukhari Sharif, Imam Malik, and Bayhaqi, and all the kitabs of the hadith, Allah Ta'ala spread that deen. Every single action Allah spread of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Just like the Quran is being protected, Allah's protected the dhikr. The third thing, also Allah until Qiyamah has kept that every action of the sunnah will continue till Qiyamah. That is sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one can wipe it away. No one can wipe away the Quran. No one can wipe away dhikrullah. And nobody can wipe away the sunnah Rasulullah. How can it be wiped away, eliminated? Tell me, in that country you are sitting, subhanAllah, can you imagine that on everyone's heads the imamas are shining the crown? Where did this qawm come from? Who selected them? That same person who came from that country, so-called Muslim country, you call it. How did you come from that country? All these men are sitting here. So-called Muslim country you came from. How did you come, arrive to this country? Tell me. When Allah Ta'ala put His heart, love into your heart, then how He changed and improved you? Has He not put His crown onto your head? Has He not put His crown onto your head? Everybody's got niqab on their face now, haven't they? The sisters, women, the women said, we didn't wear niqab when we came to this country. Them women folk that, for example, who had niqab and hijab, when they arrived there, they became naked. What will the dunya say? We have to take it off. What will the dunya say? We can't wear the niqab and hijab now. Allah says, you won't wear it. But in that country, who the people who live from before, I will give them the niqab to wear. So don't the sisters wear niqab now? And they are, due to Corona's fear, they wear it. But due to Allah's fear, nobody wears it. Yeah? So will this qawm, is it deserved of staying alive? Yes, this is a big miracle that in this dunya we are wandering around. Remember this, even that's a miracle. After so much opposition of Rasulullah, we're still walking around on the earth. Remember this. If you say to somebody, keep the beard, you say, what nonsense, rubbish are you speaking? What deen is this beard? Beard? What's the statement reply? Is there deen in the beard? And if you say salah, is there salah in the deen? Why are you telling me to pray salah? Everything you're saying, deen, deen. That how can we practice deen in this day and age, in this generation? It's not necessary. We're not living in the Sahaba's generation. Is it necessary? Are we this and that? Thousands of waswasa and replies and negatives. Why? Because he doesn't know. He doesn't know about the death, the reality of the death. He says, death's nothing. No worries. He will realize, puttar, my son, when death comes, when death will come in front of you, what is death, the reality? This life is a big ni'mah Allah has given to us, this life. And his governor says, time, go and make your akhirah on the earth. Don't waste your time. So the third thing, third action, such a great human being, personality is telling us this. Imagine that this sunnah that you're leaving, you think you'll find Allah by leaving the sunnah? Sunnah after leaving the sunnah, you think you will attain Allah's nearness by just doing dhikr on its own? No way, you cannot attain Allah through no action. By opposing the Peygamber, the Prophet, you can never get to the destination. Who is saying this? Hazrat Shaykh Saadi Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi. These are those people who attained the destination. He said, all your life. He said, after doing mujahada, make an effort all my life long, I got to the conclusion. Don't even imagine that without the sunnah of Rasulullah, you can attain Allah's name. It's impossible. By opposing the Peygamber, the Prophet, you are seeking the destination. Impossible. Impossible. Farsi. Persian. Forget, he said, forget. Shaykh Saadi Sabram, forget. Nothing can take you to Allah's nearness. Doesn't matter how many Qurans you recite, how many prostrations you do, how many umrahs you do. Until Allah, you will get nearness. All these actions you do will only be accepted due to one condition. When they are surrounded and embedded within the sunnah Rasulullah, when the fragrance of the sunnah is on them. By opposing the Prophet's way, impossible to get to the destination. So these three actions, who has said this? I'm not telling you my words. As a Thanwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who in all the walis of Allah, this, the Quran has told us these three points. Should we do these or not? Tell me. Or is this a jackanory story? Then wait, shall we still wait? The time for waiting has gone. Number one, if you find that, forget about looking for some superstar. If you get a broken down wali Allah and your heart feels a test that he is a wali Allah for a little bit, then attach yourself, super glue yourself to that person. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib says, super glue yourself to that person. I'm telling you the words of Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. Do you know what example he gives? Hazrat Thanvi Sahib of gluing yourself, adhering to the company of the wali Allah. A beautiful, unique example. He says that when you are dirty, you're stuck in the mud and you're immersed in mud and dirt and soil, and by chance, and you get to the bank of the river, then will you stop at that point? Will you think at that moment, though I'm dirty, shall I have a bath or not? Shall I go in the river or not? Will you think? Immediately your heart will say, quickly get into the river. The river will call you, come, come, I am pure, I will purify you. Will it not? Will it not? Immediately you will have a bath and clean yourself, won't you? In the same way he said, remember, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib said, remember. The same example that when you are trapped in sins, you are in a bad condition, and you find a wali Allah, then take the example of the river in front of you. Don't think for a second. Don't think for a second. Subhanallah. Rather, that river is calling you. I am pure and I'll purify you as well. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib has told us. Grab hold of his company. Never leave him. Doesn't matter how much you immerse in the dirt, immediately he will purify you. In his sight is so much shifa cure. Inshallah, that the color of Rasulullah will come onto you. The dunya will be amazed, shocked. What's happened to you? How comes you changed? What happened to you? Where did you go? Who affected you? What did you drink? What was the hisab? No, one nazar, one sight. And such love came into you, struck you, your life is transformed. Yak zamana, one moment in the company of the wali Allah. Subhanallah. So my brothers, we are in the drought generation. Drought generation. You won't find Junaid Baghdadi, you won't find Bayezid Bastami, you won't find Abdul Qadir Jalani, you won't find Mujaddad Al-Afthani, nor will you find Hazrat Ali Murtaza. Now you'll just find some even if you're broken down and your heart attests, then superglue, adhere yourself to that person for the sake of your akhirah. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that is your job. Due to my niyyah and nearness, you should arrive to the company of the wali Allah, and I'll put the barakah, the blessings into that connection. Subhanallah. I will make that shaykh for you, Bayezid Bastami. I will make that shaykh for you, Junaid Baghdadi. I will make him Hassan Balbasri. I will give you the same emotion as if you are sitting in the company of those very same people. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Everything Allah Ta'ala has given us, that mode, the medium, but there should be somebody who desires that. May Allah Ta'ala give to me as well the tawfiq, that lesson that we've revised today and gone through again today. Let's grab hold of it with firmness. Keep on listening to these bayans. Keep them. Allah Ta'ala has given us these ni'mas. These are ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. These are ni'mas. In the phone we hear it, these words. And whoever I am shaykh to, listen time and time again, time and time again. Beneficial words, alhamdulillah. I hear myself. It's not me who's speaking. Who's speaking behind? It's my Shaykh Ali Murtaza. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. It's his power that's running. It's not my energy power that I can speak. It's not my capability. Why? Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, who even said this. Remember his statement of his now that's come to my mind. Rahmatullah Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. What did he say? That when you sit in the company of your sheikh, then what will you not attain? From there you'll get ilm and you'll get amal. You'll get knowledge and you'll get practice. And dars, durus. In the places of durus, you only get ilm. You don't get amal. But in the company of the waliyullah is such a place of durus. So with the sheikh, come to the sheikh, you'll get ilm and you get amal. You get knowledge and you'll get practice. Both.
So if anybody wants to disagree with Hazrat Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah, he can. But he said, these are the khankas. The khankas. You get sobat the sheikh, come to the sheikh, and both things you will attain. But you will get only if you follow the three principles that I've explained. And then according to that, you will attain everything. Alhamdulillah. These are not wrong places. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq ability. Ameen.
Bismillah al-Mu'ayyim al-Allahi al-Salaam al-Salaam al-Azim al-Zaleem Shabi al-Zaleem Dawa yazin al-Habim al-Habim Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummiji wa Azwaji Ummahatil Mu'mineen wa Zuriyyati wa Ahli Bayti كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وختمنا وامدنا كل ذلك إننا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم صمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وهشمنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقت حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري اللهم عافنا في قلبي لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.